Welcome to the Everything EC podcast. I'm your host, Carla Ward, and joining me today is early childhood educator and author, Brianna Churchill. Brianna is also the founder of the Brown Bear Book Club. She is joining me today to talk about playfully teaching the alphabet, and hopefully we can talk about her newest book that is coming out very soon. Welcome to the show, Brianna.
Hi, how are you? So glad to be here.
Thank you so much. So tell me about yourself and the Brown Bear Book Club.
Awesome. Yes. So my name is Brianna. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I am the author and founder of the Brown Bear Book Club. And the Brown Bear Book Club is all about empowering parents and educators, guardians with resources for young children.
Amazing. Love it. And we are going to be talking all about, you know, playfully introducing the alphabet, because the two of us, we were talking off camera about the importance of literacy and education. Yes. And it's about making it fun.
Yes. Right?
So you homeschool your children and yes, you're an educator. So yes, how do you do it? How do you bring the alphabet to your children and students in a way that is fun?
I think one of the key things in early childhood is to always keep things hands-on. When children can touch and explore with their senses, it just makes things way more fun. So a few favorite activities that I like to do with my children and my students. The first one is an all-time favorite, and it's alphabet soup. And basically, you're going to get a big pot or a bowl, and you'll fill it with water. And if you use foam letters, you can get a big spoon, and young children can pretend to stir their alphabet soup, and then you can have some little bowls beside that, and children can pretend that they're eating the alphabet, and you as the parent or the teacher can guide them as they're playing. And what letter are you eating? I'm eating letter B. And so alphabet soup is always a favorite.
I love that. And it's pulling in that play piece, right? Yeah. Just because it's play doesn't mean we don't pull in the alphabet or numbers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And children love water play. And I think you keep it open-ended. Some children will do sink and float games with the alphabet. So I think the key is to keep it hands-on. And so, yeah, another key activity that I really love is another thing that I love about young children is they're very curious. And so I love to spark their curiosity by playing games. And one little game is called the Mystery Alphabet Box. And so you can get, as everybody knows, most children, if you're an educator or parent listening, you always know that children love cardboard boxes.
Amen.
So, yes. So you can choose to decorate the box, but honestly, you don't have to decorate the box. And all you're going to do is put a letter in there and just different objects that begins with that letter sound. And you're going to shake that box like, ooh, what do you think is inside? And again, young children are naturally curious. And so they'll make their guess. What do you think is inside? What do you think is inside? And then you're going to encourage them to put their hand in there. And then they're going to start pulling out the different objects that start with that letter sound. And then eventually they'll probably grab the actual letter. And then again, open-ended play. So after you get all the objects out, let the children explore the materials how they see fit. But that's just making it fun and hands-on.
Yes. And they're hearing the sound. Because yes, so often when children learn their letters, they're not associating with a sound. Like, this is S. S is for snake. But really, it's snake.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Love that.
Yes, it's so much fun. Another fun activity that you could do is called Where's the Treasure? And again, bringing in that sensory piece is you're going to fill a sensory table or some type of tub, whatever you have available, fill it with sand. If you don't have sand, you can use shredded paper, and you're just going to put the letters inside of there. It can be letters you wrote on a piece of paper. It can be letters from a puzzle, however you want to do it. And where's the treasure? So you can have different scooping objects. You can have shovels. And children will try to find the hidden treasure inside the sensory table. And kids love that.
Oh, and I love the different textures, and especially the shredded paper.
Yes, absolutely. Shredded paper is so much fun. Another fun activity you can do is writing letters in snow or shaving cream. And
Oh,
so,
yeah.
even if you don't live in a cold environment where you get the natural snow, you can make snow using shaving cream and hair conditioner. And that's super fun to make with young children. So it's really a two-part activity. You make the snow, and then after you've made the snow, you can let the children explore. And as you're exploring, you can start showing them how to write the different letters. And then you can also do shaving cream, which is kind of, you just get the shaving cream. There's no prep to that. And again, the different textures, we're talking about the different colors. But then again, you can introduce the alphabet and start writing with their little hands.
Yes, and I love that that works for any age group because you can do it with infants and toddlers where it's just the sensory, but you can do it with, your kindergartners, grade one, grade twos, where you're entering in the writing piece.
Absolutely.
Love
Absolutely.
it.
Yes, so much fun. So much fun. Another fun activity that you can do with the alphabet is alphabet fishing. And so, if you don't, you can use like the alphabet puzzle, but you can leave the pieces. You could take the pieces out of the puzzle and put it inside of a box, put it inside of a pool. If you want to use a pool, you can put it inside of whatever and use the fishing pole and fish, encourage children to fish the alphabet out of the tub. And again, it's a fun fishing game. It's hands-on. And as they're fishing, whether they're toddlers or kindergartners or first graders, they're able to extend the activity as short or as long as you want it to be.
Yes, love that. Again, right? Following the children's lead, really promoting that play, but that learning piece that comes with it.
Absolutely. Another fun activity you can do is making the alphabet with nature. So you can just go on a hike or a nature walk, and you can give children like a little bag, a box, anything that you have. And as you guys are on the nature walk, they can just collect things, rocks, sticks, leaves, put things inside of there. And then after you're done with your nature walk, you guys can come back and start building different things with the nature items. So you can give them a few ideas. They're going to probably have ideas of their own. And as you guys are engaging in play, you can start talking about, oh, let's build the letter A or let's build the letter B. But yeah, that's another open-ended activity that can really go for anything you teach.
Yes. Oh, and just bringing that nature in, right? Anytime we can bring nature into anything is just so magical.
Yes, I totally agree. Another fun activity that you could do is making the alphabet with your body.
Ooh.
I used to, when I had my first preschool class, we used to do alphabet stretches. And so everybody would spread out and we would have different letters. I might have like a mystery alphabet basket or something, and the children would pull a letter, and then we'll try to make that letter with our body. And so that, and then children could be the leader where they're making a letter and the children are playing like a follow the leader type of game. But yeah, alphabet stretches with your body.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I am loving this. So far, we've built in fine motor. We've built in gross motor. We've brought in nature, all with play. I love it. Sensory. So this is awesome.
Another fun activity that I think works for just about any age is singing the alphabet with handmade instruments. Again, this is kind of like a part one, part two activity. You can make the handmade instruments using recycled oatmeal boxes, recycled pasta boxes where you get pencils and you pretend it's a drum. You can use a shoebox and add rubber bands and pretend it's a guitar. And so handmade instruments, it just makes it more meaningful because a child has created it themselves. And then you guys can just start singing some alphabet songs as you're playing with your handmade instruments, which just makes it engaging, especially
So
children who love
fun.
music.
Yes. And we need more music. So I love it. You can never have too much music.
Music is, oh, I love music. I feel like music is the heart of early childhood. You have to sing.
Absolutely. And I mean, that was one of the things like during COVID, one of our rules here in our childcare was that you couldn't sing. And I struggled with that rule because I was like, how do you communicate? I mean, yes, there's a way to communicate to children, but like, that was so much of my communication was singing to the bathroom, singing in the bathroom, singing to the playground, singing in the classroom. Like, we were singing all the time.
Yes. Music is so powerful. You can teach, I feel like, any subject with music.
I agree.
I know I do. I have a song for everything.
Oh, absolutely. Songs, rhymes. Like, I drive my older students crazy because I will sing it.
Yep.
But they always remember it. They roll their eyes and they're like, whatever, Carla.
Yep.
But they remember it.
Yes. Another fun activity that you can do at home, you can do in the classroom, you can do in a school environment, which is I Spy. So I Spy is a great transitional activity, especially if you're waiting somewhere or you're getting ready to do something else. So you can say, I spy the letter B. And then the children are looking around. And you don't have to be too alphabet focused, especially if you have children at different developmental levels. You can add some other things. I spy the color blue, or I spy a square, or I spy a big ball, or something silly in between the letter recognition or the letter identification. And so I spy is definitely another fun one.
I love it. And again, it's putting things outside into the real world, right? I am not a flashcard person. I'm not saying I've never used them, but I'm now knowing what I know about play. We need to really start transitioning away from flashcards because so often children can't translate from flashcard to the real world. So when we're doing things like I Spy, it translates so much more and it's so much more relatable to them.
Yes, I totally, completely agree, especially if there's parents listening to this right now or teachers who have parents or teachers who have children, especially when you're going to the store and you see the grocery sign. My son, one of his first sight words was Hobby Lobby. We were in a different state, and I mean, not even in our hometown. He's like, oh, we're at Hobby Lobby. And Hobby Lobby doesn't even have a picture. It's the orange letters. That's it. And he knew we were at Hobby Lobby. And so.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah. Yes.
I used to joke that all my students knew the word Starbucks because I was just like the biggest Starbucks fan. I was like, yep, that's probably what the first word most of my students could spell was Starbucks.
Yes, absolutely. Another fun activity that you could do with teaching the alphabet playfully is always alphabet books. But I want to say not any alphabet book. Like, I think if you can customize it to what the interest of your class or the interest of your children. So if you know that your class is really into dinosaurs or your class is really into insect or transportation, try to find alphabet books that are based off of their interest because they're going to be more likely to keep that information when it's something that they're interested in.
100%. 100%.
Yes. So another fun activity that you can do with young children, alphabet puzzles, which is there's so many out there. One fun alphabet puzzle that if you don't want to get like the store-bought alphabet puzzle, a fun trend that I'm seeing right now is putting out like magazines and they're encouraging children to piece it together. So for example, if you want to have, I don't know, half of the letter A, or if you want to have half of the letter B, and then you try to piece those letters together, or you can make your own puzzle. You can DIY the alphabet by using you write it and then they piece it together, or using other literature opportunities like magazines or newspapers and let them piece together the puzzle. But yes, children who love puzzles will appreciate that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was so that kid. I loved puzzles growing up.
Yes. Yes. And then last but not least, another fun alphabet activity that you can do is actually, I think we went through all 12.
Amazing. No, that's awesome. Yeah. And you know what? Again, right? Every activity covered sensory. We covered music, fine motor, gross motor. I really like how it can all be introduced in play. It does not have to be adult directed. It can be adult initiated as if it's an invitation. Yes. But really, the level will still meet the child where they're at, which I am a huge fan of.
Exactly. And another fun art activity that you could do, I didn't mention this, but one fun art activity that you could do with paint. Painting, I am an art lover. I love paint. And you can do this outside. Actually, I encourage people to do this outside. I'm not a worksheet teacher. I'm not a draw, connect the dots. But what you could do is have different shape paper that's in the shape of the alphabet. And then they can paint whatever they want to paint, but it gives them that connection of the shape of the letters. But it's not a worksheet where it's just like already perfectly carved out. It can just be a paper that's a shape of a letter. So the teacher or the parent can pre-cut different shape, different types of paper, and let the children paint on that as well. So that's just another hands-on art activity.
I love that. And the children who are ready to receive that information can receive it, but the children who aren't ready to receive it still get to participate in the activity and still feel accomplished.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I love that. And we are on a podcast, obviously. So it's a lot of auditory, but you have a YouTube channel where they can also see you in action with the visual, right?
Yes, yes. So I have a YouTube channel, the Brown Bear Book Club, and I share weekly, bi-weekly tools, tips. I also upload activity demonstration with it in action. So yes, I try to answer a lot of different early childhood questions on the channel. And so, yeah, you can subscribe if you enjoy early childhood tips and tools.
I love that. We will make sure that all of your links are also on our show notes, which you can see below this podcast. And you can follow Brianna and learn more about her journey. And you're also on Instagram, which is how we met.
Yes.
And what is your handle for that?
It is also the Brown Bear Book Club. You can follow the Brown Bear Book Club on Instagram. Also, if you are a parent or an educator of young children, you can also sign up for the club. It's totally free. And I send out a newsletter with additional tools, tips, resources, and then book updates. I know you mentioned earlier, I have a new book that just released. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So I don't just talk about my books, but I also share other wonderful children's books as well and activity ideas.
I love it. But let's talk about your new book.
Okay. Yes. So the new book that is currently out is called The Little Bird Who Wanted to Fly. And it is a story that teaches young children the importance of patience and perseverance and how there is a time for everything. And so there's opportunities for children to count and for them to move. There's opportunities for children to maybe problem solve. How will little bird fly? And so it's what some have called it is truly a page turner type of book, because I set it up in a way where I want children to realize that sometimes you have to keep trying to do something and it may not happen the first time you try it. And so it really celebrates perseverance, patience, and the timing, which is rooted out of Ecclesiastes 3, that there's a time for everything.
Oh my gosh. And you know what? Let's be realistic. Adults could use that kind of book and message as well, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Definitely that perseverance and keyword there that you said, timing.
Timing
is everything. We have to sometimes remember that things will happen in their time.
Absolutely. Especially when it is something that you know you're born to do.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh, if any entrepreneurs are listening to this, that was the key message right there. Oh my gosh. Truer words have never been spoken.
Oh. Yep. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So.
Excellent. Yeah. And the link will be right below this podcast. And Brianna, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to following your journey and all the new books that you're going to be putting out.
Oh, thank you so much, Carla. Thank you for having me.